Welcome to the show called Let's Talk Homeschool, brought to you by Apology Educational Ministries. This is the show where we talk about everything homeschooling, the who, what, when, where, why, and how. We want to affirm and encourage you in the decision to homeschool, challenge and inspire you to take it to new heights, and celebrate everything you get to experience along the way in this adventure of a lifetime. We are your hosts, Davis and Rachel Carmen. Today's show is titled, How Many Times Do I Have to Tell You? Okay, Rachel, let's talk homeschool.
Okay.
So you're going to do most of the talking today, but I'm going to show the picture of your book. So this is a book that Rachel wrote entitled, How Many Times Do I Have to Tell You? Which is a great title. I just love the title, and I love the beauty of that book. But there are 68 chapters in this book.
Right.
And this is part one in a series that we're going to do where we're going to cover 11 of these 68 chapters, give folks a nice teaser. Of course, they can buy the book on Amazon, at apologia.com, wherever they want. But let's start with you telling folks the genesis of the idea for this theme. How many times do I have to tell you? What happened when this idea came to you and said, I got to write a book about this?
Well, it's kind of funny. And I think sometimes, if any of you out there have ever written a book or thought about writing a book, it's something that sort of brews on you for a long time. You think you've got some insight or some experience. You're like, I really need to share that with people and I really need to write that down. That was not the story. This happened in a split second in a morning homeschooling the kids. So I was in one of those moments with our oldest son, one of those laying on of hands moments when I had my hands on his shoulders. And I don't know if how many of you have this child in your custody at your house, but it was an effort to get his attention, right? And so I had been trying to get him to do something. He had been highly distracted, which was characteristic, and I get that. But in an effort to get his attention, I just put my hands on his shoulders and I said, I need you to look at me when I'm talking to you. I promise you, it was as though a spotlight came down from heaven and shone upon me. I did not hear an audible voice, but I sensed that God was saying to me, yeah, you know what? That would be great. It would be great, Rachel, if you would pay attention to me when I talk to you. It would be great if you would look at me. It would be great if you listened to me. And I was standing there going, what just happened? What just happened? Because in that moment, it was like this massive epiphany that I still have not gotten over all these years later. It was this moment when I realized as a mother that I was asking my children to listen to me, but I was not listening to my Heavenly Father. I was asking them to live at a standard that I was not living. And my head just about exploded. And he ran off. I mean, he could tell that mother was having a moment, right? He ran off. And I literally walked over and sat down and got out a piece of paper and just started writing down all of these things that I was saying to my kids that I knew that God was trying to say to me. I was overwhelmed with how insistent I was being with my own children and how resistant I was being listening to God.
Well, it had to have been a surreal moment to say to one of your kids, how many times do I have to tell you? And then to have this sense of God asking you the same question. Yeah, Rachel, how many times do I have to tell you?
Yeah.
And like you just said, I think we can all relate to those moments of exasperation with our kids, but are we exasperating God by not paying attention, not listening?
So you
made this list, and it turned out that at least 68 of them made it into the book.
Yeah.
So
what that morphed into was I was like wondering, well, maybe I'm the only one, right? Maybe I'm the only mom that sees it this way. Maybe this is just me. So I endeavored to do a survey. Now, there was nothing scientific about the survey. I did not do a focus group. I did not, you know, whatever all of the things are you're supposed to do a scientific study. I did none of them. I literally just wrote down a list of questions that I'm going to encourage you to jot down, right? You're going to have homework with this episode. And I asked, It was about 200 people, and I still have those surveys. And these are the questions that I asked. I think it's just four or five questions. So jot these down, and I'm going to give you some of the answers of respondents and some of the conclusions, non-scientific, that I came to as a result of this general survey that I did. So number one, what do you remember hearing? So the first question I want you to consider before we get into the 11 we're going to look at and the other, what would that be, 57 that will still be in the book that we won't cover, I want you to consider, what do you remember your parents saying to you? Or if you were raised by your grandparents, whoever it was that raised you, what do you remember them saying over and over and over? What stuck with you? What do you still carry with you now? That's number one. Number two, what do you hear yourself saying to your kids now? So that's a huge question. Like, the whole idea, we affectionately refer to this book as HMT, how many times, right? The idea that as parents, we feel like there are a certain set of things we say over and over and over. What are those things for you? Because it's probably not the same for you as it is for me, right? As it is for you. What are the things that you hear yourself saying? Number three, what do you think your kids hear you saying? Now, you talk about a divergent two lists. What you think you're saying over and over, and what you think your kids are hearing you say over and over and over. That's going to be a different list, right? Now, a bonus question is, actually ask your kids. If you feel really on top of the world, you've got this mother gig nailed, you were just knocking it out of the park, I double dog dare you to ask your kids, what do they hear you saying to them over and over and over? Because that list, I promise you, will not match your list.
And that's the surprise that a lot of folks come to, is they they have a handle on what they're saying to their kids, but it's not what the kids are actually hearing themselves when they're asked. And mm-hmm. and that can be another one of those eye-opening moments of, oh, wow, I didn't realize that that's what they're hearing me say. I need to be careful, or that's a good thing, depending on what it is.
Exactly. Second bonus question, right? Ask your spouse what they hear you saying over and over and over. Because again, I'm just telling you, you're in the same house, it's the same people, different lists. Different list. You have different objectives. You have different perspectives. You have different goals. You have different backgrounds, right? These lists are not going to match, but these lists are a gold mine for you as a mom. A gold mine for you as a mom. So what do you remember hearing as a child? What do you hear yourself saying now? What do you think your kids hear you saying? Those are the three questions. Two bonus questions. Ask your kids what they hear you saying. And I think that needs to be done in two ways. Ask your kids all together. Have them make one list, brainstorm one list together. And then ask them if there's anything that they would want to add individually. Some of your kids are going to have something that they're hearing you saying that the other kids aren't hearing. Again, I'm just telling you, it's gold. Then ask your spouse. Those are your two bonus questions. Then the fourth mainline question is, what do you want them to remember you having said when they're gone? These questions, I think these questions are game-changing questions in a lot of different ways. I think they have the capacity to refocus you in terms of what you're communicating to your kids, what you're getting done, what you're not getting done, actually hearing your kids, right? So often we talk to our kids. We want them to talk to us, but we're talking so much they can't talk to us, right? I'm just telling you, this is my dare to you to do this before you watch the next podcast. So here we go. I just want to say that I did that survey. And I also asked my kids, this was so much fun. I have a note here, and it's dated. Two different post-its dated when I was giving this presentation at a conference. So I have done a presentation on this book at a whole weekend conversation, five sessions, we tackled this whole issue of listening and all of that to your kids and to God and how those are integrated and connected. And then on two different occasions with a couple of my kids, before I'm going on stage to give this presentation, I asked them, just on the spot, what am I saying over and over? This is just fun, right? So my one daughter in 2009, so this is a while back, she said, "You are always saying, think, 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 think."
It's very true.
It's true. And I'm not sad about that. I think that's pretty cool. So in 2009, you can do the math faster than I can. This daughter also said that I was saying, dude, a lot. So we have four sons.
Probably a way to get their attention. Dude, come on. What's going on?
I remember one time I was taking the boys to football and one of our older sons made a comment and it was outlandish. And I turned around and I said, dude. And one of the other football guys said, dude, your mom just called you dude. They just thought that was kind of cool. But apparently I said a lot.
Well, our oldest son graduated from our homeschool in 2009. So that gives you a sense of the kids were 18 down to 5 years old.
Okay.
When this list was made. Yes.
Okay. So then she also said number three, and I was very happy to hear this. She said, you say I love you a lot. So I was very happy to hear that. Number four, she said, don't blame others. Take responsibility. That's pretty solid. And then number five, she said, love each other. It doesn't matter. So again, this was a pretty nice list from this particular daughter. But I'm telling you, I've taken other surveys and I'm not liking what I'm getting back. And that may be the feedback that you get, but I'm going to dare you to do it anyway. Here is what I learned. So I took those surveys, those unscientific surveys, and I thought, okay, is there a pattern here? Are there some categories here? What can I glean from this long, 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 long list? I don't think I have it in my file today. This long, 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 long list of input. And I started to see some patterns. And they weren't altogether positive. So unfortunately, the number one thing that our kids heard from us was interrogation.
So that's like a broad category of statements.
There are three basic categories that I discovered. And the number one was that we're interrogating them, that we're drilling them questions. And it's this, our desire to get information. So who were you with? What did you do? When are you coming home? Where were you? How are you getting there? Or why did you do X, Y, or Z? And it's making our kids feel like there's a light bulb in the middle of the room and it's dark and there's a two-way mirror, you know, I mean, and they're feeling like we're not really interested in them as a person. We just want the facts. The second category that I discovered was the category of trying to shape their behavior. We were trying to get them to do something that we thought that they needed to do. So in the name of training, right, this is what we're trying to do. And so here are some things that we say in this category. Pick up your room, your socks, your clothes, clean up their bathroom, turn down the music, turn off the computer, do your homework, don't be late. Here's one that was really sad, but it makes this category. Go away. So these are directives that our kids are hearing us. They're trying to tell them what to do. We're dictating to them, right? Don't be late. Make a decision. Be nice. Don't yell. Watch your tone. Share. Do your best. Shut up. I'm just reporting on the facts. That is in this category, again, where we're trying to dictate to them what to do. That's number two. So number one, they're hearing us interrogate them. Number two, they're hearing us dictate to them what to do. And number three, and I'm just going to say it was distant, was any kind of communication of feelings. That's a pause point. That ought to be arresting to us as parents to realize that a distant third in these three categories from the kids directly was a communication of feelings. And I just need to tack on too. Not only did I find these three categories in gleaning from the surveys I did with the teenagers, primarily junior high and high school kids, right? It would have been fascinating to go younger than that, but I didn't have an opportunity. But primarily junior high and high school kids, I also overlaid the question that I asked you earlier about what do you remember hearing? So this is also what the parents remember too, fell into the same pattern. This whole idea of interrogation, dictation, and oh, by the way, I love you. Here's the deal. When we do it in that order, the kids feel manipulated when we communicate our feelings. They're not feeling loved. They're not feeling cared for because we're tacking it on at the end. You know, pick up your socks. Don't be late. Be back at 12. Who are you going with? I love you. They're not hearing that.
Right.
They're not hearing it.
Well, that very last of the original questions that you asked in the survey was very helpful to me personally as a parent, asking the question, what do I want my kids to hear after they've left the nest? And to the, just mentioned it, pick up the socks was something that I know I personally realized, you know, I'm probably harping on pick up your socks. You're leaving a trail everywhere. And it dawned on me, that's not what I want my kids to remember their growing up by. And so I brought that back and toned that down significantly as a result of asking myself these questions, kind of paying attention to my own survey and to what I know that I'm saying to my kids. So, yeah, I think there's so much that we can all learn and improve by going through it's actually kind of fun reading these short 68 chapters, because some will make you smile, some will make you laugh, but some will make you think and hopefully even change and improve some of your behaviors and statements as a parent.
So here's the challenge. So the first challenge is do the survey, dare to do the survey. And I would even say it's a great book to pick up and do with some friends. There's short chapters, about 750 words, got some questions at the end. Dare to do this with a few friends, right? Do the survey, share your answers insofar as you feel free and comfortable doing that with your friends, and then dig your heels in. Look at, as you answer those survey questions, right, those first four questions with two bonuses, see where they fall in these three things. Are you interrogating? Are you dictating? Are you manipulating, right? Because you're gaining information, shaping behavior, and communicating feelings. Generally, that's what we're doing, and that's the order we're doing it in. And so do the survey, categorize the feedback you get back, and then this is my challenge. Start flipping it. I'm going to boldly suggest to you that the number one thing we need to be communicating to our children is our feelings. The number one thing we need to be communicating to them is that we love them. And better than that, that God loves them, right? Number one, that we care for them, right? That we are here for them, that we support them, right? And we're going to be there for them. Number two, then after that we've established our love for them, God's love for them, then we come in and start working and shaping behavior, right? Because we want our lives to image Christ and we want them to desire to be transformed in his image. That's where the behavior comes in, right? And then thirdly, right? Then I would suggest to you boldly, they're going to want to tell us the things that we want to know about the who, what, when, where, why, and how. It's going to just be more natural. It's not going to be an interrogation. It's going to be more of a relationship. So that's what I'm going to challenge you to do until we come back next time. Do you want me to do the top 10?
Yes, let's at least let our listeners and viewers know what are the 11 of the 68 that we're going to cover in this series over the course of the rest of this year.
And this is truly a teaser, and I would love to hear from you. If there's something that you think, this is just going to be the top 10, right? If there's something that you'd like to know is in the book, you can pick it up or you can text or email, but here's the top 10 we're going to cover in this series. Number one, I remember the day that you were born. Number two, look at me. Number three, it's your choice. Number four, no. Number five, your name here. Number six, please just trust and obey me. Number seven, now is not the time. Number 8, it doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. Number 9, be still. Number 10, how many times do I have to tell you? And number 11, I'm not going to tell them.
Ooh, it's a surprise bonus.
Stay tuned for that. So I'm really looking forward to this. Again, feel free to pick up your copy, get a few friends together, and dig in so that you can be an improved mother with the way and how and what you're communicating to your kids.
Well, it's time to bring this conversation, this introduction, to a close, but you'll want to listen to all 11 of the episodes as we go into each one of those in a deeper dive. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. We hope you'll join us again next time. This is Let's Talk Homeschool, brought to you by Apologia Educational Ministries, and we are your hosts, Davis and Rachel Carmen. Have a great day, and until next time, we are walking by faith and enjoying the homeschooling adventure of a lifetime.